FMCG Vibes, dein One-Stop-Podcast
für FMCG und Handel Insights.
Wir sind Nina, Finn und Daniel. Jede Woche spricht einer von uns mit Gästen aus FMCG und Handel. Unser heutiger Gast, Amanda Novoa, Gründerin und CEO bei Jaguar Mezcal Boutique.
Viel Spaß beim Zuhören.
When I moved to Germany, I saw that there was, not so much, not so much products available, also not so much awareness of the product. So I was like, okay, maybe this is the perfect time for me to start a project.
Welcome back to a new FMCG Vibes podcast episode. This is the second English episode that we are recording. And today I can present a really interesting guest, Amanda Novoa from Jaguar Mezcal Boutique. Hello, Amanda.
Hi, Finn. Good morning. Thank you so much for having me here.
Great that you are taking the time. I found a really interesting online article about you about drinks regarding tequila. I think the spirit sector and especially tequila is like massively growing currently in Germany, but also in Europe. So it's really interesting topic that we want to dive into today. But before getting into your business, maybe let's start with you as a person. What is your personal background and how do you get into the food and especially into the spirit sector?
Oh, so yeah, it was a very interesting journey. It was like the way I ended up with the spirits. I think it was just like something that was evolved, right? So first of all, I'm from Mexico. For example, the agave, very, very nice. And this is something that since a long time ago. And I started my career on international business. I was someone wanted like kind of travel the world and, discover things. And yeah, so, I started my career like that. But then I started in the pharmacy before joining that, I was a diplomat. I worked for the British Embassy, and then I moved to Switzerland to work with the World Trade Organization and also with the UN. And then, after that, I went back to Mexico and I started to work as a consultant for the Mexican government in the parts of the export strategy. And agave spirits are an important product for us export, and that's where I started to get more awareness of these, of the product, how it's performing in other markets. And I thought like, oh, we could start a project like that. But I was working full time, and when I moved to Germany, I saw that there was, not so much, not so much products available, also not so much awareness of the product. So I was like, okay, maybe this is the perfect time for me to start a project. And yeah, this is how I ended up with Jaguar.
Yeah. So you have a kind of an international experience regarding all the different countries. Yeah. I think tequila and the agave spirits are really common around South America, especially Mexico, right? So how is it in other countries, like you mentioned, Switzerland? How is it developing there currently?
Yeah, that's a very interesting. Every market develops has a different performance. For example, in Switzerland, it has almost like a kind of same level of penetration, same like as in Germany, but due to the cultural differences. But for example, compared to other markets like the UK or like the US, agave spirits in general are just like positioning like top sellers, and in Germany we are in that transition. Actually, Germany positions as the second largest importer of agave spirits. And you look at the numbers, see, okay, Germans are drinking a lot of tequila, right? But then it's not like the premium tequila that one would think. Most of the market, it's kind of for what I would say like cheap tequila. So it's 50% agave tequila. So yeah, but those numbers are moving right now. The trend is consumers are looking for more premium brands or more artisanal brands. They are also exploring what is more into the agave spirits category, that is not just tequila, but also mezcal, and also like sotol, racilla, and all those varieties. So yeah, that's something that we as an industry, we are very happy about how that transition is going.
Yeah, and you mentioned there's like, of course, different quality types of tequila as well as for every spirit. So from a consumer perspective, maybe for someone who isn't yet that experienced with tequila, what are like some things or some points where you can see it's a good tequila or not?
The first thing I think is like the percentage of agave, right? Like I was mentioning, like it's you will have like 50% or like 100%. The best is like to start like with the 100% tequila. And I mean, there are so many brands in the market that it would be difficult to even from the marketing perspective, like how they promote it. Like honestly, the best is like just to go for the technical part and say like, okay, this is 100% agave, and then okay, then you buy the bottle, no, regardless of the price, right? And then you enjoy it. But the best way to enjoy it is like actually drinking like slowly. Need and avoid at any cost, and yeah, because that's how you I mean, it's very popular around the world, like the shooting how can I say, yeah doing the shots, and which is not good, because normally tequila, they're like high alcohol. And also one other thing that you could also go for while selecting, for example, tequila, is that at least is 40% alcohol. That also helps you to get something that is more authentic and really enjoy more the flavor. But okay, once you have that, yeah, just enjoy it slowly. And then, avoid the shooting and really trying to understand, you know, within the agave, like within the tequila. Because honestly, there's also many videos that are, I mean, in YouTube that you can, you know, just can watch, and people are explaining more about it, like how to approach the tequila, how to enjoy it. And also there are many, many, many brands in the industry that are doing masterclasses or pop-ups. In Berlin, I see this very, like, once per month, there is an event around tequila. And here is the moment when one can come and get this kind of approach with the producers and learn how to proper enjoy it and drink it.
Definitely can agree. So I think there's huge potential, because over the last years, there was really a gin hype in Germany. But okay, that is declining now. And regarding beer, the beer market is stagnating, but the alcohol-free beer is raising. And that also brings us to our next topics. Of course, there's the classical tequila, but as I mentioned in the beginning, there was like a huge about drinks article on the new alcohol-free tequila from Lewis Hamilton. So how does that work? How did you bring together this company, and how are you selling it currently into Germany?
Yeah, that was a really exciting, how can I say, partnership. I mean, the portfolio is first of all, it's very focused on the agave spirits, mainly on mezcal, because it's the spirit with the largest diversity in terms of agave and everything, right? So for me, it was really important to keep it like that, right? Like it is just agave spirits and everything. But then the demand, I mean, the clients started to asking me, hey, do you have something that is alcohol-free and everything? And at the beginning, I was like, well, I'm not sure if there's something there in the market available. I mean, that follows the same kind of how can I say that, like the authenticity or like the standards, you know, like the process of making like tequila or mezcal follow. So yeah, I was like not sure. But then I found out about this brand and Mabe, and then I learned how they do it. I just find it like an amazing product and something that could feel on the rising demand of, you know, of the non-alcoholics. So yeah, when I get to know the process behind, I mean, it's a brand that follows the same procedures of the tequila and the mezcal and all the natural ingredients that they use. That was just fantastic because, again, I mean, there's already some versions of tequila and mezcal on the market where they are just made with chemicals and non-natural ingredients, and they are not made in Mexico. So I was like, okay, no, we need something authentic. But with Almave, it was like the products like that was fitting the market. And so far, I mean, the feedback from the people has been quite nice. They are like very interested in the products, and yeah. But yeah, it is surprising, like with the non-alcoholic trend and in Germany is what do you think about this trend?
I think it's really becoming mainstream currently. Mm-hmm. And also the mixture of, I mean, in Germany we had a lot of influencer products, so to say, for example, energy drinks with Montana Black and Capital Bra, with sometimes sold 40 million, 80 million cans. So there's like a huge potential, and seeing it internationally, I mean, with Lewis Hamilton, for example, when his racing team changed from Hugo Boss to Tommy Hilfiger, were like huge campaigns also in Germany. Mm. And additionally, the Formula One in general also gets more relevant here. And then also combining with alcohol-free, because of course he combines like a sporty lifestyle. So of course people want to do it without alcohol to be productive. And he's like a role model for sure. So I think now is like a perfect timing. Regarding the wholesale process, how does it work? How difficult is it to do like the export nowadays from Mexico to Germany, to Europe?
Yeah. I mean, now that you mentioned Hamilton, that is also one of the things that I also find very fascinating, because he was actually the creative director of the whole project, and he wanted to have something that allows him to, you know, to like, he loves agave spirit, and he wanted to have something that was alcohol free. So he came with the idea, I want to have my own tequila that is alcohol free, but it has to be authentic, right? And he project, and but it was not easy. I mean, he went with one of the best distilleries in Mexico. It is called Casalumbre. They have a portfolio of really artisanal spirits that are just made with in Mexico with Mexican ingredients. The people behind, they have even have a PhD on agaves, right? And actually, I have to say that also one of the things that create the this Almave is from Germany. He is studying in Getzenheim. So yeah, we can have he might be coming here on the next month to talk about the production part. But the things like with the team was saying is like it was really hard to emulate the taste of the of a tequila or a mezcal, right? So so first they could keep the traditional way of cooking the agaves, which is like you know, for extracting the sugars, that was quite nice. But they just keep the fermentation, but they do distillate the juice with other ingredients, so they can give this nice flavor. And I mean, once you try it, we find it so they can recreate like this kind of burn effect that normally you will have when drinking like tequila, right? So yeah, I know it's incredible. And once you start drinking, and it's like you can see like all the things there. But yeah, production wise is fantastic what they do. They take it took them around 2 years to develop the product. It's just the Rolling Stones, they just recognize them as one of the best non-alcoholic spirits in the world. So I think that's something that, I mean, leaving even besides Hamilton fact behind the product alone is just fantastic.
Yeah. And I say the bottle design looks also really great, really traditional and gives you like a nice feeling and you definitely want to try it out. So I saw on the online shop, you have it, there are like three different tastes. So what is the difference between these tastes?
Three of them, they are representing, like, always like available on the, for example, in the tequila and the mezcal. You had, for tequila line, that it was the first one that was launched for the brand. You have the Blanco. And then you have Ambag, which will be the representation, right? When in this one, you have like, for example, like the taste of the oak, right? Whereas in the Blanco, you have more like the herbacity, just like a normal tequila. But then this year it was launched Humo, which in Spanish, I mean, it's translated as smoke. And this would be like the mezcal. Yeah, so you will have, based on the agave spirit, you will have the kind of like the most popular representations. And this is something that is really cool, to be honest. I mean, even having like the reposado version, that was really nice. Tasting it is very to see this as a new way to approach agave spirits rather than thinking on the tequila, on the mezcal, or with the non-alcoholic spirits. I mean, you would never get the same, you know, punch or flavor experience that, for example, that the alcohol standalone provides. I don't know if you have already tried some non-alcoholic, there is already on the market.
Yeah. So I discussed it with some producers, and I think we compared it a bit also with the vegan trend a couple of years ago. So basically, it's starting right now, but you have like the first products, and then the market is just future developing. So, for example, in the vegan market, you had a lot of soy protein in the beginning, and then training and with the alcohol-free market, I think it will be even larger because spirits is like a multi-hundred-billion-dollar year worldwide. So I think alcohol-free spirits is even more common because you have so many trends coming for Gen Z with social media, being productive, longevity.
Yes.
On the other hand, you want to have fun, yet really stylish, and you have AI. There's also a competitive trend for AI that people say, I want to wear your community, I want to go to live events, meet with friends, enjoy like the real world. And maybe also brings us to the next category. So you're not even to... Or additionally to the Lewis Hamilton tequila, you also have 818 tequila. I'm not sure how the name is spelled correctly with Kendall Jenner. So in other words, how did you come to sell these? Yeah, when was it launched, for example, in the original market, and how is it developing?
Yeah, that was also a really nice partnership. I think that was the first brand that was not just focusing just on mezcal. Because that was, the company is Howard Mezcal Boutique, right? So, I wanted like to partner with a tequila brand, and I needed a tequila in my portfolio. But you need to have one that different. How can I say? This is my Spanish interfering. But that has a lot, that fulfills a lot of, tick a lot of boxes, right? So I always wanted like to work with in 2020, and then A18 was launched in 2021. One day, when I saw the press release, I was thinking like, yeah, that brand is going to be part of my portfolio one day here in Germany. So you kind of already decreed or, you know, worked towards the goal. And yeah, so I was like, okay, I need, it has come the time that I want to bring a tequila brand. So why not try to this one, you know, because, first is, you have Kendall, which is a woman, right? And, that will be interesting for me because I'm also, you know, I'm a distributor. I'm also, woman, and that would be interesting to have the representation. So, I already, have already some contacts from the brand. So we started to talk about the project. Yeah, for them also was very interesting to, you know, someone kind of also tick boxes, right? Okay, someone who dedicates also like, oh, understand agave spirits, doing the representation of planning. It's, it is very, really the we launched the brand a few, last year, like 1 year ago, exactly at the same time, like with Almabe. So yeah, A1A was my first big brand that it acquired today. Yeah, so far it's so good. Have you tried it, by the way? Not yet.
Not yet. That was also my next question. So regarding the tequila trend in Germany, food and drink sector, you have always two sides. You have a B2C side that you can also, that they can order online, but you have, of course, the B2B side that you convince sometimes with long listing processes, a lot of wholesalers. And how does it work? Because it's very more like, more asked from the B2C side, is the B2B side also open? What can you say about
it? Yeah, definitely for a brand like, for example, like A1A, there is more movement on the B2C or in the retail, right? This is a brand that is well known as like, you know, for younger generations, we like to buy more, right? So yeah, that was the channel that it is rotating. I find it a little bit more difficult in the B2B in the way land or position in bars and restaurants. I mean, although it's a famous brand, the quality of the product is just beautiful. Is they even use our organic agaves, you know, which is not so common on tequila. Then yeah, the thing is like the approach changes. Have the consumer at the joint and wants to buy something and post it on Instagram. Right? But in the B2B, you have another type of client, of consumer, like, you know, the buyer that you need to convince. And in this way, I have to say that Germany is really, you know, it tends to be very traditional. In that way, they were already established brands of tequila in the market, right? So they have already contracts with these brands, right? And also like the celebrity part, you know, it comes to play. And you know, they're like, no, we want something authentic, you know, kind of those things. And you are like, they have, it is Kendall Jenner. There is a team of experts behind this project, like they are like best in class. You know, they are really know about tequila. They have awards. They actually have received a lot of awards, even 18%. But in the US, right? So the mentality here in Germany, it's different. Right? It's a different approach. But yeah, some places that the product has been well accepted. It was more like in to the places that they have this approach of audience, you know, coming. But it has been like, you can see the differences. But for example, with mezcal is different. It's easier to be in bars and restaurants than selling to the end consumer. It's another reality. But that happens when you have a portfolio, you know, one product complements the other.
What we also see, in especially for the younger generations, that people tend to buy ready-to-drink cocktails already in the supermarket. Mm-hmm. I mean, a couple of years ago, there were the Alcopops, when they were more or less forbidden because the VAT was so high that it was unattractive to sell them. And now we have a lot of these cocktails, for example, Jack Daniels, Coca-Cola's, where was one of the top products last year, I think, with two-figure growth every year. So have you thought about like a ready-to-drink tequila made in a bottle or for beach clubs or even in a can?
Actually, yes, I have received already some proposals from other brands about the ready to drink. It's something that I really need to kind of, how can I say, wait and watch something and see how it goes. Because of the, I am more kind of selling like neat and not too much on the ready to drink. But I have to say, yes, it's a trend that in the grow. There is a few brands into that. But yeah, at the moment, I think I would, I will focus first on the new non-alcoholic, and then I want to see how it goes in 1 year. I didn't expect that trend for non-alcoholics, it was going to grow so fast. Of course, I go to the events, reports, and you read the data, and you see, okay, yeah, it's coming, but maybe in a few years, you know, like, I don't know, 10 years, something like that. But no, the trend really came like in months. I already had clients saying that the menus, the cocktails that like 50% alcohol and 50% non-alcoholics. So that's a huge number on that perspective. I mean, in the past, it was 5% and then out of nothing, 50. And then actually the bars and restaurants, they are more saying like next year, like 2026, one-on-one cocktails, like, I don't know, like a margarita alcohol and a margarita without alcohol, a whole menu. And there's even bars that are going zero alcohol already. So, so yeah, trend is coming quickly. So yeah, I mean, I will see like how it's going to behave for the ready to drink. Cause also they're already ready to drink, non-alcoholic tequila. And that will be interesting. Yeah, that's something that as a distributor, you need to kind of analyze how you're going to position or which channels.
And yeah, I see. Maybe you have some, to end, we have some event recommendations. So what were some trade fairs events that you attended, be it B2C, B2B? What can you recommend there maybe? Or where can people meet you in the next year for events?
Oh, for events. So I'm mostly very active in Berlin, doing events, masterclasses. And we did, for example, with Green Door, we do some kind of events. You know, they do really good cocktails also with Frischutter 1000. Yeah, I mean, from the end consumer perspective, we're going to be very active, especially right now with this new brand, Almave. Dry January is like, you know, the season that we want to kind of, we're actually going to do like more the proper launch of the brand in that season when people are not drinking. Right now, people are drinking. So, you know, it's like where to. I would be posting about it. We're going to do some collaborations, of course, with other venues. So I think it's going to create a lot of buzz. And that's okay from the end consumer. But from the B2B, the trace that I always go is to the Bar Convent Berlin. That's a really nice platform to connect with people from Germany, but also from other parts of Europe, or even they're coming from Mexico. And it's a nice platform also to talk about the trends, you know, like what's coming next. Yeah, and also, I mean, for networking. And yeah, it's really, really nice one. And also Pro Wine, which is more focused on wine, but I think like expanding more into the spirit sector, yeah, would be nice. Like also like to have more. Maybe in February I will be participating in that, but at the moment I just keep it like with the bar.
Yeah. So if people want to contact you, what are the best ways to contact you? Is it via LinkedIn, your website?
Yes, via both. LinkedIn, I'm more active, I'm more responsive on the emails. But it's always nice because you can see at least the profile and see, oh, who is this person? But yeah, in both channels, I'm always available.
Perfect. Yeah, we will link both in the show notes. And yeah, thank you very much for the interesting discussion and learning more about tequila and alcohol-free tequila today. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks to you, Finn. I hope next time we can go and enjoy and do the tastings.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wenn dir der Podcast gefällt, dann bewerte uns doch gerne bei Spotify und Apple Podcast und hilf uns, so noch weitere spannende Persönlichkeiten in den Podcast zu bringen. Du möchtest mehr über unseren Gast erfahren? Dann schreib uns einfach eine Mail an podcast@fmcgwives.com oder folge uns bei LinkedIn und im Netz unter fmcgwives.com.